The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.
For me, it's about when you get hit, like, I don't know, you're kind of expecting it. It doesn't feel that hard. But like,
Shade.
Wow.
No.
There's the intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Round two, fight.
Okay, let's do this. It is the Still Parents podcast brought to you with Global's Make Some Noise. I'm Dan here. As always, Ryan and Matt from the Lily May Foundation. I've been really looking forward to this episode. We recently did our second charity boxing night it was about 8-9 months after the first one. And we really enjoyed the episode that we had. And the link for that is in the description with this that we had with Jack Taylor. It was Dave Holly's. Who else do we have on that episode as well?
James Wright.
And the link for that is in the description for this. And we had another one. Thanks once again to the XL Leisure Centre. Or as I call it, to make it sound grander, I was calling it the XL Arena. Welcome down to the XL Arena, ladies and gentlemen, in Coventry. So thank you to those for that. And let's introduce who we have on the show for this particular special. Now we have Olivia Horsley, who's husband?
Husband.
Oh, it is husband. It came on not so long back during our Baby Loss Awareness Week episodes, and it was brilliant. It was really interesting little listen. And we're getting Andy on for a full episode very, very, very soon. In fact, by the time this has come out, we might have actually recorded it. And sat next to you is your
yes.
That was great. We haven't even warmed up yet. Sat next to Olivia is Abby Wickens. Hi, Abby. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Now, as you probably gathered, these two just battered the living bells out of each other just a few nights ago over at the XL Leisure Centre in Coventry. Also, alongside them, we have Jack from the Boxing Lab. There's a lot of people in the studio today. How are you, Jack? Are you okay, mate?
Yeah, I'm all good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. We also have, is it Mark or Marco?
Mark.
From Aria Sky.
That's my personal training.
Pronouncing that correctly. Now, you guys, both Boxing Lab and Aria Sky, were in the corners also doing the training, and I had a part in the events. We brought you in as well because I know, Jack, you weren't in the corners for this particular fight, but also just to sort of bring that, to get your perspective on things as well, leading in into the build-up with it. And Mark, we're going to get you on for a full episode at a later date as well. I believe negotiations have been taking place for that for how long?
A long time.
2 years?
So that's not long after we started the podcast. Yeah.
Just trying to build the hype up around it. That's all we're trying to do.
Right, so let's get into this. Olivia and Abby fought each other. How are you? Look, I love the body language in here. It is like these two are about ready to go again. Abby sat there with her arms folded. That's it. Abby, we'll start with you. What made you feel up for doing the fight? And how long had you been thinking about the idea of getting into a ring to fight somebody?
Okay, so I have been doing a couple of fundraising things that didn't really put me out of my comfort zone. Right. I've climbed Snowdon, I did the Malvern Hill Challenge as well. And to me, it was just going for a walk, although it wasn't just a walk, it was pretty hardcore. But it didn't really put me out of my comfort zone, and I wanted to do something that really did put me out of my comfort zone to try and raise a bit more money.
And you did. You raised the most money in the evening, didn't you?
Yeah.
She did. She got top fundraiser.
Yeah.
Got an award for that.
I know. It took about 20 minutes to get back in the ring to collect you without piss by then.
Yeah. I didn't know which way to go to get back in.
What song did you pick to make your ring entrance to? Because one thing that we did different from the first one was we made the ring entrance walk longer.
Okay, I picked Sean Paul, Temperature.
Yes.
Welcome underway, the time cool. I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm.
Sean Paul's my man. I'll just get into his music, obviously.
His song came on and you got up onto the little podium and then started shaking your hips and doing like the dotty wine and all sorts.
Yeah, and that was without a drink. You want to see me dancing to him with a drink.
How nervous were you? Because you didn't look it.
I know. Everybody says that. And I think for me to come out to that, it calmed my nerves down a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, the week before the fight was just horrific.
Right.
My heart was pounding out of my chest for the whole week. The anxiety was horrific. Just for those couple of minutes of his song, just let me relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's bam, straight in that ring, like anxiety.
Seeing as you just touched on it, like the week leading up to it then, was there any time you went like, you know what, forget this, I'm not doing it?
No. The amount of times that I was going to message into the group and say, at what point can I pull out of this? But no, I had to do it for my baby boy. And that is why I did it. But yeah, the anxiety, honestly, I'm not going to lie. On the after the Thursday, I had to go and have a bottle of wine and smoke two fags just to calm me down. And I know I shouldn't say that.
Oh, is this
I
before?
Know I shouldn't have said that.
Was Mark
it worked.
Honestly.
Was Mark your trainer?
Yes.
Let's bring Mark in briefly. So that was new. So Mark Oreskes, you were training Abby. This is your, how was she to train?
Great fun to train. She committed to it a lot, got stuck straight into it, and good fun to be around as well. So there's some characters in the group who shine, and there's some we sort of hide towards the back. I'd say Abby definitely shined. She come out, she had some good fun, and yeah, nice to be around. But there were some really good characters in there, and it was a really real good pleasure to teach as well, this one. It was good fun.
You get into the ring, the first bell goes. What do you actually remember about the fight?
Well, do you know, it's mad. I can't actually remember much. It's crazy.
That's what the people said last time. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're in there and you've got to do it. I did remember at some points, like, oof, I'm so tired. And I can't believe how tired you get in the ring of 2 minutes per round. It's exhausting, like draining as well.
Did you guys know each other before training or
no?
What really fascinates me is I walk into the changing room and you're all sat in the same room, knowing that you're gonna end up in the ring against each other, and it's an interesting dynamic. So like, I'm just wondering, you know, look, don't get me wrong, I know that it's obviously for a charity event, but you still want to try and do your best, right? And now you sat next to each other, obviously, but on the build-up, is there any kind of, not tension as such, but...
I think we kind of struggled with that to start with, didn't we? Because we kind of expected that we would be against each other from the beginning. Yeah. And to start with, we were like, we could spar, but then we didn't really want to hit each other in the face, so we kept apologising every time we'd like just accidentally hit each other. And we'd be like,
sorry,
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Sorry. So I'm sorry. It's like that scene sure in between, isn't
that.
It?
I'm just here, like, sorry. Apologies.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't hurt me. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Just fuck off. Sorry, I hit you in the face. Sorry.
But then we did get to the point where we were like, we just have to go for it, and we're here to box at the end of the day. Like, we're not going to fall out. We're not going to take it to heart. There's nothing malicious behind it. We just get it over and done with and then hopefully get drunk afterwards.
From a training point of view, is that obviously something that you have to control a little bit as well and stuff, maybe?
With the charity events and with them all training together, it's a completely different sort of dynamic.
Right.
You know, they're all trained together, they all know each other. I think you guys would have been daft if you didn't have any idea that being sort of two of three women in the group that you may have been fighting each other. I think that was, without me saying, I think that was quite clear. I mean, I brought you through for sparring as much as I could.
Right.
But it's a very different dynamic to a professional or an amateur or an unlicensed boxing show. You know, they're all still there to win, but they're part of a team and they've all worked together and they want the best for each other, regardless of them fighting each other. They still want the best for each other. You know, it's a very different dynamic to when you go into the other world of it, where, you know, you're fighting for titles and so on. You know, this is a personal side to it. The flip side is more a professional side to it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, so we're all fighting for very good reasons.
Yeah.
You know, with the majority are involved in child loss at some point.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of heart in there, but this is more of a fun side to it and raising charity and helping people out than going into the professional side where you'd be completely separate until the minute you face each other in the ring or even from the weigh-in. You know, we had weigh-ins, we're laughing and joking and I was able to do it all. Do you know what I mean? Where it's a different world
when
you step away from the charity event. They would be completely separated until they see each other. But that is also a good dynamic because they've trained all together as a team, and then it'd be unfair, say I'm in the red corner, Jack's in the blue corner, and we've bantered off each other and worked together through the whole training camp, for them to be like, well, even if we're not fighting each other, to keep us separate from each other on fight night, you know, that would unease some of them because you've been through it all together. It's nice to keep them all together. And then afterwards, like you said, you'd be very close for a long time now. You know, it's something between boxing each other and punching bowels out of each other, which just brings you connect with people. I've met some of my best friends through boxing. Do you know what I mean? I've met some of my best pals through fighting and, you know, giving each other a good hiding, Jack.
But obviously, it's obviously
or taking a good hiding from Jack.
Yeah, because we're not. You can't see us as we're recording this one. So that slight pause then was when Mark gave a very loving look towards Jack. So how long have you two known each other, Jack and Mark, by the way?
About too long. we worked together at a previous gym.
Okay.
Jack then opened up what was called JB Fitness at the time. I moved over with him and went on to the boxing lab, and we've just got real close friends, work well together. And yeah, it's blossoming, isn't it, sweetheart?
How was the night for you, Jack? How did you, and your involvement in this as well? Because obviously you were part of it the last time as well. You know Ryan.
Yeah, but also as well, it's his gym that we use to be able to do the coaching over the, you know, over the 8-9 weeks.
Yeah, well, between the three of us, all the trainings at the gym. I just want to touch on something that Mark was saying about how friendly it is when they're doing their training camps and their weigh-ins, but I was amazed at how hard everyone fought.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same thing.
My missus said that was better than the shows I come and watch you, because everyone wanted to win. Like, no matter what standard they were, everyone wanted to kill each other. Even though they're not fighting for belts or titles or anything, they're doing it for their own reasons. They all really wanted to win.
It can be
a better reason, I suppose, yeah.
In the first fight, Sai, our photographer, nearly got knocked off the ring. Like, he was above us because we were the timekeeper, and all of a sudden we're holding our hands up. We almost had to catch him. Like, he just balanced himself again.
And that was a women's fight as well, wasn't it?
I was actually
pretty amazed he got up there, because the referee won't let you put a bottle of water on the side of the rink, and the next minute you got a cameraman hanging through the ropes. And to me, this was not a small camera, is it? This was an accident waiting to happen. Yeah. And I was just, true enough, I was watching thinking, right, should I get my phone out? Yeah, watch this. But that was an accident, and that's a learning curve.
I love that. That says it all, doesn't it? About, because I'd have done the same thing, by the way, so I'm not having a go at you, but it's now like, I could help, I could catch him, or I could film it. Yeah, it's interesting points what you've both said there, Mark and Jack, because, and the reason why I'm going to ask this to both of you, Liv and Abby, is because we mentioned this with Jack and with James and Dave on the last one. Was it important to win? Because I remember Jack Taylor from the last episode, he was devastated that he didn't win the fight. Thankfully, he came back in and he won this time. Where I think it was James, he wasn't too fussed. He said he was in there and it was good to just have that experience. And I don't think he lost his fight, but he was just happy that he'd been in there. So let's start with you.
So I'd obviously have loved to have won, like to have said, like, I've taken part in a boxing match, well, like the 9-week training camp.
So it was Abby, Abby won the fight.
Abby won. But I genuinely said to Abby, like, win or lose, I feel like we've both come so far throughout it all. So even when we spoke to all the other boxers, I didn't necessarily see one as the winner and one as the loser. It was kind of just a way to finalise and to round up the whole experience.
Would you have said the same answer if Abby wasn't sat next to you?
I'm scared she's going to knock me out. No. No, yeah. I would have, genuinely, yeah. It really, I don't feel disappointed in myself for not winning.
I would echo that as a process of this training.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
You know, like, with what we do with this boxing, it's a process, and the people come in there have never boxed before. Some of them have never put gloves on before.
Yeah.
And win, lose or draw by the end of the 8 or 9 weeks, they are better people. You know,
they've
given back, they've conquered some demons, and they've grew as people, win, lose or draw. And I see that from my angle. Now, sorry to interrupt them, but I see people come in there, and then at the end of it, the sense of achievement of what they've done, regardless of whether they've won or lost, it's amazing. And that's one of the main reasons
it's
I do
growth,
it.
Isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the characters I've met through there, I mean, you know, some of them, they sign up for it and then they're scared to death. You know, they're thinking, how can I get out of this? And yeah. the longer they leave it, the more in it they are and the harder it is to get out of it. And then some of them think, shit, I've got to do it now.
So for your your roles, both of you, Mark and Jack, you see that's quite rewarding for you then to see that growth within what you know within the people you're training and get ready to fight.
100%. I mean, it's fight week, you know, and you said, when do the nerves kick in? On that last week, the people that you look at, you can see that all. The shoulders are up, the eyes are wide open, and I say, right, sparring's
toilet
pretty much done now.
Toilet paper's been used
more. The realisation that it's about to happen, and I say, right, sparring's finished now, because I don't want anyone getting hurt.
Right,
no one's
going
to get hurt before
fight
night, and then it's... shit, you know, it's about to go down and the tension in the room gets a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
More so with men because of masculinity.
Yeah.
Sort of. And then it eases off a little bit and then they achieve their fight night. Some win, some lose, some draw. It's, you know, it's a sport, but I like to see the growth of people and they come out afterwards once it's done. And like Liv said, you know, they've done it. They've done it, you know, and that's the main thing about it from my angle.
How did you feel immediately afterwards, Liv?
Do you know what? It was all genuinely such a blur, but in a good way. As in, I just felt like, oh, that's all over and done with, kind of.
Yeah.
We're Relief. Doing what we were, what we're here to do. We've raised all this money, like, that's it now. And I do want to carry on doing boxing, not punching people's faces, but pads maybe, punch bags. But yeah. We were just dead happy, weren't we? And we were like, everyone in the changing rooms was so supportive and that. It was just a wicked experience.
I think what a lot of people don't realise as well when they sign up for something like this is that, yes, you've got the process of the training, the boxing, you're getting the really good coaching, whatever that may be, but then also you're standing in a ring in front of 300-odd people.
Yeah.
It's not easy to be able to talk in front of that many people, let alone get up there and be punched and have to give back at the same time.
Did you feel the crowd? Or was it, we just zoned out? Was the only person you were seeing, Abby?
I was completely zoned out.
Yeah. Could you hear them? What noises can you remember?
I think I could hear Abby's. I could hear Abby's supporters. Every time she punched me, I could hear them all cheering. I thought, what?
Well, yes. That's sorry, Matt, what was that?
No, Abby's supporters are different. They were good.
Yeah. Now, we have to mention that, actually, because I was about to bring this up in a couple of moments, because there was a lot of people in the room, but a good chunk of them were there for Abby. It was like, honestly, it was like one corner of the room. It was like an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians that going on in there. How did it feel knowing that all that support? Because obviously you had your people there, but it's an interesting balance. Because if it was me, I'd be like, oh, damn it, everyone wants me to lose in here. And I don't know if that would make me bring out the best in me or make me go into my shell.
I feel like I didn't feel intimidated by it, though, because we're all there for a good cause.
Good idea.
I didn't feel like Abby's supporters were wanting it to knock me out. You know, it's they wanted her to win, and for George, obviously, and I completely get that.
Yeah.
And I, even though I didn't really pay any attention to the supporters when we were in the ring, you know, walking out, I could see my friends and my family there, and that's all I needed to be like,
that's great. Yeah.
Come on then, like... what will be will be.
How does that differ? So obviously you two speaking like that in regard to a charity event, how does that differ with you two, Jack, Mark, whenever you fought, do you try and cut the crowd noise out or can you zone out to an area where you don't get involved in what's going on?
You never really notice the crowd when you're there. Obviously you're trying to put on a performance and you know they're there, but all you're focusing on is the actual fight itself. But I'd say depending on where you're boxing, who you're boxing against, the crowd will be like, knock him out, and it'll be a little bit more aggressive, whereas obviously being a charity event, like you just said there, her fans didn't want her to get knocked out, they just wanted her to do well. Sometimes it's a little bit more lively. But no, you don't. Well, I don't see the crowd.
I think in my ring walks I do. I like to play up a little bit, or used to. Bearing in mind I haven't boxed now for...
When you say play up...
Just nearly as good as Abby, not quite. I haven't quite got those
that
moves.
Makes some balloon animals on your
But I like to have a little, you know, especially on a home show, I'd like to stand back, have a good siren get the crowd ready for it. I mean, I've boxed for a long time. I've had a couple of titles, so people would know who I am.
Yeah.
So to just run down to the ring would be a bit. So I like to lap it up a little bit.
Yeah.
When I get in the ring, I hear certain people. You know, there's certain people whose voices I can hear in my head.
You just tuned into those.
But yeah, there's a majority of people I can't hear. You know,
right,
you're there, it's like we're there to do a job. you know, and we're trained and we're that long in the tooth with it that I wouldn't let that, you know, I wouldn't let that get
experience
to me.
Comes in.
I fought in Oxford one night. And I did an away show, and as they shouted my name out, I don't know whether I'm going to say it.
Anyway, go for it.
I stood at the about to walk out, and someone shouted, "Die you!" in my face, God. And it was a woman.
We've definitely got to bleep that word out.
I was said to say it.
I was just thinking in my head, going, "Could that be the intro clip?"
And, for a second, it threw me off, and I was like, "Fuck!"
That was a woman.
That was a woman, yeah, right in my face. For a minute, it really threw me off, and it took my corner to say, "Right, calm down, let's go."
Oh, really?
And just for the record, I stopped him in the first round, and I give her a little bow, and I was like, "See you later, sweetheart."
It was a rough place.
Yeah. Really rough. It was in Cowley in Oxford.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
yeah,
there was Cowley. About there was probably 300-400 people there. I think there was about 14 teeth in the building. It was like, it was one of those places where you were like,
and they were all on one person.
Yeah. And they were all fake. Gold. But that's, you know, and that threw me off for a minute. Yeah. You know, but in the general, you just learn.
Yeah.
You learn to go with it. I mean, it sounds crazy, you know, you guys say that 2 minutes is like that. I would know, and you'd probably say the same, I would say, in when you're in the corner, I'll say, right, grab the stool, and then you'll hear the klaxon go.
Yeah, yeah.
Last 10 seconds. You just know, didn't you? You know whereabouts in the round you are.
I think as well with the people who've boxed for the first time, if we box, we can listen to just the people in the corner.
Right.
And ignore everything else. Whereas I don't know if you guys remember anything that the corner people said.
Yeah.
Right. Quite often, while I was in the corner, I'd be like, do this. And like Jack Taylor would be like looking at me like that and getting chinned at the same time. Like, stop looking at me, like look at your opponent. But you're trying to talk to them. And it sounds stupid, but I had to say to most of the people I cornered, I'm going to be shouting at you and talking at you, but don't look at me.
Liv, what was your walkout song?
Mine was Jay-Z, Run This Town.
Yes.
I actually found it a really difficult decision because, I didn't know what kind of direction people were going to go in, whether they were going to want to come out and be like really intimidating or whether they were choosing a song that like meant a lot to them.
So what was that reason for you?
Literally just because I couldn't really think of anything else, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Well, it just kind of got me going a little bit. Okay. Like, I did want to choose the Miss Dynamite song, Wild Out.
Sorry, the other one was good as well. But Wild Out, that's it.
Do you know, the song choice is so difficult and people don't appreciate just how difficult it is. And you know, you have some of these great songs that you think, that's brilliant, but it doesn't start for 40 seconds into the song.
Would you do it again? Either fighting each other again or somebody else? Have you got the bug now?
Before I actually got in the ring on that night, I think because I really liked the training, I thought to myself I'd do that again. But now it's 100% no from me.
100% no.
100% no from me.
I think what people underestimate as well, and I certainly underestimated it until I started doing classes for Jack. Boxing is, I've never known a fitness like it.
Yeah.
It's not even the fact that you've got to be, you've obviously got to be fit, but you're throwing punches, you're trying not to be punched, you're getting punched, you're trying to think, you're moving at the same time.
A lot of challenges.
There's five, six, seven things that you're thinking about all at the same time.
Yeah.
Which just absolutely annihilates you when it comes down to fitness. I'll run around a football pitch every day of the week. But when you're having to move, duck, slip, jab, it's just totally different. And then you get winded you tell me, if somebody punch you, you train to an extent where you can get punched and it probably doesn't wind you, but you must get caught at times where it catches you and you think, shit, I weren't ready for that. And then you've got to try and bring yourself back round.
I think from my angle, I think the body shots, you know, we sound daft. We used to getting punched in the head, aren't we? You know, it gets to the point where it bounces off you.
Yeah.
If you show someone you're hurt, then, you know, they're straight on you. But, you know, if we're going back to the fitness and the show, a lot of it's the nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, like you said, when you went to a walk, it didn't take you out of your comfort zone because there wasn't a great deal of danger in that.
Yeah.
You know, when you get in that boxing ring, if you play a game of football, you lose. Oh, shit, you lost 3-0, whatever. Mm. It's not nice, but you've lost.
Mm.
You go in a boxing ring, you can get hurt.
Mm.
And someone is ultimately trying to hurt you. And I think that's, Seaman, you can be as fit as a fiddle. In your first fight, it's all going to go out the window. There's a very few, but 99%, it all goes out the window. Your nerves are flying, and you're fighting on adrenaline.
Yeah.
That's it, you know, so it's a different ball game. Like I said before, you know, it's a very different ball game. You can be fit as a fiddle. If you don't compose yourself, which 99% don't, it's just a war. You know, it's a war, and I'm very proud of the way the majority handled themselves on the night. I'd say majority, all of them, because it was really competitive and they did box. There was a few where it was a good old slugfest, but the crowd need that. But the majority of them really took it in there with them. And overall, I'm very proud. I think it was a really good event.
I think they probably just lose their heads a little bit. It just goes out the window and they think, I've got to throw punches.
Right, yeah. You summed it up 2 minutes ago when you said you're on your own. When you're in there, you're on your own. It's you against that other person that's opposite you, and they're going to come at you and they want to win and you want to win at the same time. And there's very few sports where you put in that amount of danger where you're by yourself in a football team, rugby, you've got the team around you, you know, you've got all of that. Whereas this, you are by yourself.
Yeah.
Before then, you're getting the advice of your trainers at you know, during the break.
Yeah. It's just adrenaline, I think, and just panicking a little bit. Everything that you've been taught sometimes goes out the window. Don't get me wrong, some of it, so there was some good boxing on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it the last fight? It was the only one we've had across the two events where there's been a stoppage. Was that fam?
Ben, that's my cousin.
Ryan mentioned it. When he walked out the last fight, because I'd chat with Paul Shrives, who was his opponent, and I'd had a chat with him earlier on in the night, and I thought he looks in good nick. I haven't seen him fight or anything. Ben comes out, and straight away, as he gets onto the podium, I'm like, fucking hell, he's got some weapons on him here, as he ends with his arms. It didn't last very long, did it?
Paul called Ben out from the first day. Which I thought was a bit weird, because one, Ben's my cousin, and Mark was training him one-to-one
as well.
So
on the first day of the training,
but they sort of know each other through the gym.
Oh, they do,
so
okay.
It wasn't like malicious or nasty.
Right, yeah.
It was like, I want to fight you.
There's still the pride in there, isn't there?
Yeah, but my cousin was, Ben was like, what? Like, we thought he was joking.
Yeah.
But then through the whole camp, he was like, no, I want to fight you.
He's giving him some needle,
just like a little bit of banter, but at the same time, wanted to fight. Yeah, okay. He was writing things on the whiteboard, like Ben's getting knocked out and stuff like that.
But like, I'm going to knock you out.
In like a banter way, but he genuinely wanted to fight Ben, and I think Paul's super fit, and I think he thought that he could win on fitness,
right?
And then he got punched
in the
face.
He did look confident,
and it kind of went the other way.
It went the other way very fast.
If
I went into that camp, I think, and I had to pick someone to fight and I wanted to win, Ben would probably be the last person I'd pick,
right? Okay.
Just from looking at him, Paul went, I'll have him, but
didn't age very well, did
it? But yeah.
Has he been back in the gym yet since?
No, he's gone abroad.
He actually has as well. He's fled the country.
He's still picking his head up off the floor, I think.
Oh, wow. I think as well, compared to the very first fight, I'll run through all of the fights anyway before we get off, but it's linking back to what Matt said and that kind of, I think it's frenetic or frantic nature of the first half a minute of that first round, and then, as Matt said, the last part of the third round, it kind of all, you all remind me of, you know, the first time I ever got a pedalo on my own, like with the family, and you're going on it and you get in there and you're just going like fucking crazy, aren't you, on the pedals. Then you get knackered, you let the sea bobby about for a bit, then you got to fucking try and get all the way back in again.
Never seen it explained like that.
That's my well-known pedalo boxing analogy. You can have that. Anytime you want it, just don't need to name check me or nothing, please don't.
You think like 2 minutes isn't that long at all, really, but because we came out at the start and watched a few of the fights, that felt like watching for longer than two minutes.
Right, yeah.
And the nicest sound ever when you're in that ring is that
last 10 seconds.
That's it, yeah, and everyone needs to hear it, that's fine.
And I think as well, some of the punches that you throw, like there's actually no power behind it because you've got no energy left and you're that exhausted. And just after 2 minutes, I mean, when we're training, we're there for an hour, And you know, but then when it's in the ring, you're thinking of everything else. You're trying to listen to the people in your corner telling you what to do.
It's like a sprint, though. It's like a sprint in a boxing ring. Mm.
And I did remember Mark saying to us once, imagine running on a running machine at like level 12 or whatever, and then somebody hitting you at the same time for like 2 minutes. Yeah. And it's you don't think 2 minutes is long, but it is.
But it's just full on.
How did it feel, both of you, Olivia and Abby, first time you felt yourself get hit? What kind of feeling was that?
For me, as well, when you get hit, like, I don't know, you're kind of expecting it. It doesn't feel that hard. But, like, I
no, shade.
Actually.
Shade.
No.
Wow.
No,
there's
I don't
the,
mean
there's
that
the intro. Round two.
Like, I have got a really nasty bruise on my nose, but when you're in there, it didn't feel like I got blasted that bad. If you know what, but I think you're that zoned in and trying to.
Yeah, makes sense.
You're trying to get at that other person. Yeah. You're forgetting about what you're getting back because you're so zoned in on trying to get at them. But yeah, she must have got me a good whack because my nose really does hurt.
How about you, Ev?
Yeah.
Your chance to get back here.
Yeah, I felt quite numb really throughout the whole. The whole 6 minutes. So when Abby was punching me, I'm not going to lie, like you can feel it. But
it's not painful, though. It's the adrenaline, isn't it?
That's
You just feel your head go boom.
Yeah.
And like I'd been doing some personal training sessions like alongside it, and the sessions were an hour long. And I'd be dead towards the end of it. You know, I was really struggling. But just being in that ring, even for the first 30 seconds, I was like, how am I this exhausted? Like, I just felt like I had nothing left.
You're thinking, it must be 2 minutes now, and it's 20 seconds have gone.
I think a lot of it's very, it's like a mental game, isn't it? Like, if you keep thinking, right, I can push myself, then you just get yourself through it.
The next morning, after the fight, what were you doing?
I think my mind was still, I was so consumed by it, probably for a couple of days afterwards, and obviously in the build-up as well. But it was as soon as I got home, I thought, oh, my nose is feeling a little bit delicate, so whacked out the frozen mixed veg from the freezer straight on my nose.
Well, I guess it does the trick, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
How about you, Abby?
It's a little bit sore.
The next morning, I'm not going to lie, I walked for about 2 hours just to clear my head, you know, because for me, those 8 weeks, it was like something for my boy.
Yeah.
Doing something for my boy. And it's like, the adrenaline was still there on the Sunday, but Monday, when I went to visit his grave and take my award, it comes crashing back down again. It's I've done that for him now. What's next? Like an empty feeling, like, because that kept me going. Every time I had a bad day for him, I'd go to the boxing lab and it made me feel better. And it's something for him. It's something for the Lily Mayer, getting those fundraisers in again. But I'm looking out for my next thing.
I was going to say, because like you say, you've done the Malvern. I mean, I've done the Malvern thing. That was bloody nasty, was. And it's that's why you keep coming back and doing
these
the next.
Things keep me going, because I can be a mum to my 3 kids at home, but this is my way of being George's mum.
Okay.
From my angle, obviously, I can relate to that completely.
Yeah.
And sort of this sort of stuff gives you a bit of focus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got kids at home as well, but you do need that sole focus to do something for you and for your little fella, do you know? Yeah. And that's another key reason, you know, when Ryan approached and said, would you run this? I was like, 100%.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm in a position, you know, with helping people out. Without even speaking about it, I'm in a position to help people who've been in the situation that I was in a long time ago. And, you know, and it gives you
how
a focus.
How many years, if you don't mind me asking?
8 years.
Eight years, right, okay.
So, I mean, it gives you a focus, it gives you a drive, and you will, you know, you have to bounce on to the next thing just to keep your brain occupied, you know, and it's exactly the same, Abby, this side for me.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the fighting side, I'm on the training side, but it's exactly the same. When this finishes, I'm like, when's the next one, right?
Yeah. It's mad because, like, obviously boxing isn't related to my boy, but getting in that ring with his name on my back was.
And
raising money for a charity that helped me so much through those darkest times is what is keeping me going and being his mom. And although I did win that fight, I would have preferred for us both to have drawn, because
it's easy to say when you've won.
but we both put all of that time, and we were both doing it for our babies, and we did all that training together, and like at the end of the day, it was for our babies. So
and I think you take friends away from this sport, like you two now. which you'll have a bond which you won't have with a lot of people, even people you've known for 20 years. When you've been through this together, you'll sort of have that bond ultimately where you're like, yeah, did you know each other before?
No.
And then like 9 weeks later, you know, look how close you've become and look what you've done together and shared together and been through together. And that's, you know, that's the great thing about what we do.
You know? I remember being in the changing rooms before the fight and after the fight. It's, we got in the ring and we did, you know, hit each other. But before and after, it's, we were we're still friends.
Did you have to put yourself into that mindset before? Because I don't know if I was to do something like that, I don't know if I'd want to see the person before. I'm not sure if it's a job-related thing, but I like to try and get on with everyone that I meet. And that means then I then don't want to, like, go, oh.
Yeah.
I'd rather find a reason to go, all right, you're a bit of a wanker.
Yeah.
Even though I know you're not, but I need to convince myself of that.
I'd love to say yes, but literally, like, 20 minutes before we went out, Abby and I were having a proper heart-to-heart in the changing room.
I know, I came in to check where they were. They
love it.
Sat there, bloody... Yeah, they might as well have just put some soft music on and all sorts.
Steady.
And I was waiting for some bloody candles and everything to be going on.
Actually, you get into the boxing ring and there's just rose petals all over the floor. Yeah,
and I think it's hard to know, isn't it? Like, do you want to fight somebody that you've been training with so you get to know how they do things, or do you want somebody completely different that you've never met and you've never sparred with? Well, it's hard to weigh up, like, but I am glad it was, like, me and you.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't Liz, actually.
Oh, Liz People, she was our first fighter, wasn't she?
Yeah.
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 Fight again next week.
She's, isn't she? Yeah.
But I think we were able just to switch off, weren't we? And like, obviously, like, hopefully, I've made a mate for life now with.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, like, you know, we were having the heart to heart, and then the second we step in that ring, the first bloody punch Abby threw, I thought, right, she means business.
Yeah, okay. it's real
it
now,
is
isn't
real,
it?
Real, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so we'll get the rematch sorted out. That'll be fantastic. While we're at it, just shouts to all of the boxers through the night. We just had one of them mention it was our first fight. So it was Liz People versus Rosie Welch. We had George Martin versus Ricardo Ricketts. Ricardo's all right. He had to go to the hospital. He collapsed. He fell onto the canvas at the end of the final round.
He was just exhausted.
He was absolutely cream cracker, but he's all right, isn't he?
He is.
Kev White, Steve Thompson, Jake Inwoods and Jack Phillips, Steve Rice and Steve Arnold. Ross Farquharson and Joey Frost. Ross won Fighter of the Night, I believe, didn't he, as well?
He did.
Abby and Olivia, or Liv, as we are now, because I think we're friends as well. We know Liv. She hasn't punched me yet. Jack Taylor and Hayden Phillips, James Ironoff, Matt Newton and Paul Shrives and Ben Tidy were all of our fights. And the pictures and the videos you'll be able to see through the Lily Mae Foundation website and the socials, and we'll stick them up on the Still Parents podcast website as well when they're all sorted out. So, Abby and Liv, thank you so much for coming on. And Jack Beer and tomorrow, is it O'Hagan? Is it
O'Hagan?
Yeah. We're looking forward to getting you. We will get you back on.
We will go there.
Yeah.
You know, I promised to come in before and then I couldn't make it. So today just unnerved me a little bit. It's a comfort zone thing, isn't it? So I'm comfortable in it. I know the surroundings. And we can come on and talk about what I went through and while I'm so involved, you know, helping out and giving back on the charity event, definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much. Jack Beer, thank you very much for joining in. Jack Beer from the Boxing Lab.
Pleasure.
And to our fighters. To Liv Horsley and Abby Wickens, thank you very much. It's been really interesting listening to you both chat about that. Any final thoughts, any final things either of you want to say? Or
no, I think actually... rematch. No, please, no.
No, thanks.
I actually would just want to say, even though we've just sat here and said, never again would we do it again, I don't want that to put people off joining like the next event.
That's a great point.
Because I'm only saying, no, I wouldn't do it again because I've now done it. We've just ticked
it off the box. On to the next challenge.
Throw you out of a plane next year.
I'll throw myself out of a plane next.
All right. Matt, take it easy.
Yep. See you later, guys. Take care.
Ryan.
Adios.
Nice one. Thank you very much. This is the Still Parents podcast brought to you in association with Globals Make Some Noise. All the details for our socials, for our website and our Mother Chuffing app, which we now have.
Oh, sorry.
You can download from your app store. Thank you very much. We will be back very soon. Take care.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Globals Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.